Dela, thank you for bringing us here today to learn your words. I pray that we can all learn from what we're gonna learn and have attention to listen. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
All right. Well, it's been a while. To a week break, I guess, more or less. So let's get back to it. First of all, we'll read together John chapter 7, verses 32 to 44. And then today we're going to zoom in to look at verses 34, 35, and 36. I realized that I did touch a bit on verse 34 the last time around, but I'm just going to go through a bit more. And then I'll link up 34 and verses 35 and 36 together. So let's read together John chapter 7, verses 32 to 44. The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and Pharisees sent officers to arrest him. Jesus then said, I will be with you a little longer, and then I am going to him who sent me. You will seek me, and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go, that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will seek me, and you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When they heard these words, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, is the Christ to come from Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the offspring of David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David was? So there was a division among the people over him. Some of them wanted to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. Shall we together verses 34 to 36 again? I shall zoom in to look at these three verses today. You will seek me and you will not find me. Where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will seek me and you will not find me? And where I am, you cannot come. So first of all, as we do verse 34, when we look at verse 34, it says, you will seek me and you will not find me. This sounds rather interesting and this sounds rather familiar to most of us, especially since for the YPFers, we are going through the book of Proverbs. And indeed, this has a lot of parallels between a verse in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28, they will call upon me, but will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but will not find me. Now, in the context of Proverbs, it seems to suggest an eternal kind of aspect to it, that they will try to find me, they'll try to seek for me eternally, but they'll never find me. However, in verse 34, this is not as clear. There's two ways of looking at this verse itself. You will seek me and you will not find me. What is Jesus trying to intend here? And what is Jesus speaking about here? Now, first of all, we will touch on more of the more obvious one that most of us will see when we look at this. You'll see me, you'll not find me. This is talking about the eternity. Now is the time to believe me. I will be here with you a little longer, as seen in verse 33. I will be here physically with you for this short period of time. And after that, what happens? I'm going back to him who sent me. Going back to him, as we have seen before in the previous part of verse of chapter 7, we have seen that when Jesus mentioned this, the person that sent him, he was referring to God the Father. And so he might be referring that he's going back to God the Father after his death, after his crucifixion. And when that time comes, when you still wishes to seek me, when you still wish to find me, you cannot find me any longer. Now, this is the very case for the Jews themselves. And this is very true for the Jews today also. That up to this point, the Jews are still seeking, the Jews are still finding, they are still longing for the Messiah to come. But yet, none of them has truly found the Messiah. None of them are truly seeking the Messiah. They have missed the opportunity to seek Christ. They have missed the opportunity to know Christ. Instead, they gave it up. And now they themselves, the Jews wandering around, thinking and hoping for the Messiah to come. But when the Messiah returns, they'll realize how wrong they were. Their whole life seeking for the Messiah to come, but yet they neglect to see Christ, God incarnate, that dwelt among us, mankind. They have forsaken him, they have neglected him, and they have not found him. That even for the Jews back then, the officers, the Pharisees, the chief priests, whoever have came seeking for Christ to arrest him, they have missed this opportunity. They thought Christ was just a mere human being, but they missed that great opportunity. All their studies, all their knowledge of religion, all of their knowledge of the Messiah, everything that they have known has gone down the drain. It has been wasted because they have missed the Messiah. You know how sad it is for the Jews themselves that they spend their whole life learning, seeking, but yet they themselves did not have the heart to seek for God, because ultimately they did not find him. They did not find Christ. Ask and it shall be given, seek and it shall find. They did not truly seek for God. Their desire was never meant for God, but it was for their own selfish desires, their vain aspects of life. Now, and also, Christ will be going away. You know, Christ will be going out of the sight of the Jew, out of the Jews here, in this case, the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the officers. He'll be gone. There's no other way for them to find him anymore. He'll no longer show himself to them anymore. He will hide himself away from this crowd of people. Now, many of them will cry, vainly cry, Lord, Lord, open to me, Lord, Lord, come to me. But yet, they did not want him at all. Christ will hide himself away ultimately. And they themselves coming to look for him, they cannot find. And what's worse is that it's not just about finding Christ ultimately, but where I am, you cannot come. Where is Christ? Well, seated at the right hand of God. This is what we know. But yet, some people will not be with him. Some people cannot come to Christ. And this is the sad truth of reality. This is the sad truth and the reality that we need to come to terms with. Many people will be out there seeking, hoping to seek, with their vain ambitions, but they'll never find Christ. Many people wish to be in heaven. I believe most people in this world wish for themselves to be in heaven. But yet, heaven, where Christ is, they cannot come. They cannot be with Christ. They cannot sit together with Christ, sit before Christ, learning what he taught. He teaches us to be in communion with him, to worship him for the rest of eternity. They will not be there. In fact, they wouldn't want to be there, as we will see in some forms later on. But that is the case. They seek, they don't find, they don't go with him. They're left in this world to perish. They have neglected the presence of Christ, and so have we in some ways. But many of times we neglect to see Christ, we neglect altogether about Christ, we neglect the presence of Christ that is with us and in fact in us. And we forget about him. And we set our eyes beyond Christ and look elsewhere for him when he's so close to us. Something for us to reflect about: how often of times we have neglected Christ, how often of times we have neglected his word, how often of times we have neglected God. That is something really for us to contemplate, especially for you guys, the P6ers. And it's a good opportunity to think about it. Where is God during your PSLE? And even better, think about it during your holidays after your examination. Where is God during your holidays? No, you take a holiday from school. Does God take a holiday from you? Leave you to your own devices and your own sins to enjoy yourself? Or is God near to us and we seek to find him? Now, as we move on, in verse 35, the Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? They themselves imagine it to be a physical location that Christ will be going to. Now, this group of Jews, most likely referring to the officers that were sent to arrest him, as you have seen in verse 32, it might also have included the Pharisees or even some of the crowds. nonetheless, they spoke to one another and asked this very interesting question. Where does this man intend to go? Where is he going? Where in the world is he going? They have imagined Christ to be on this earth when Christ himself has suggested many and countless of time that he is going to the one who sent him. The one who sent him is not of this world. They have neglected to see that. They are blind. They do not see it. But yet they ask, where does he intend to go? Now, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the Jews at this point of time has quite a bit of power. I won't say a lot, but quite a bit of power. Nonetheless, they are confident in themselves to have be able to find Christ no matter where he goes. And so they have suggested that if Christ were to stay within the area of Judea, within the areas where the Jews control the lands, they will be capable of finding him. And so they came up with a thesis, they came up with a thought. Then maybe he intended to go somewhere else, to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks. Now, the dispersion here, if you guys realize, is actually a noun. A dispersion usually refers to, is a common Jewish expression to refer to all the Jewish people scattered throughout the Roman Empire. In fact, at this point of time, for the Jews themselves, this is their understanding. The further away you are from Jerusalem, the less Jewish you are. The less of a religious person you are, the further away you are from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the holiest of holies in that sense, that if you are further away from it, you are less holy. You can imagine in that sense. So, and not just that, you're not just less holy, but you're less learned, you have lesser understanding. And in some ways, when the Jews said this, does he intend to go to the dispersion? It's as more suggesting that, hey, Christ is not able to convince most of us here in Jerusalem, so he's going to go to the dispersion. He's going to go to those fake Jews or those lesser religious Jews to preach to them. Maybe he is able to convince them because they are less well learned in the field of religion, less learned in the understanding of Jehovah God among the Greeks. Now, most of us here, we have the understanding that the Jews themselves hate the Greeks, hate the Gentiles. There's a very clear line drawn between the Jews and the Gentiles, the circumcised and the uncircumcised. And right now, the Jews have parked the dispersion, the Jews that have scattered throughout the Roman Empire together with the Greeks. And will Christ go out to them and preach and teach to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, about our faith? See, this is their hatred and their rage towards Christ and towards all people. You know, we all have the understanding of the purpose of the Jews, the intention that God has for the Jews, that they themselves, from them should be the line of David, from them should the covenant be kept from that line. But they have neglected that this gospel was not meant only for their people, but for the Gentiles also. Paul over and over again in his letters spoke about this. And so this is the very case here, that they themselves hate not just Christ, but they have a proud disdain of the Gentiles. They even called the Jews among them dispersions, those people who have gone astray from us. The hatred that they have towards them. The Jews hate people in general in that sense also. But yet they look down on Christ. They sent him away in some ways. They invited him away. Go speak to the dispersion among the Greeks. Don't talk to us. We're not going to listen to you. Teach the Greeks. Maybe they'll be convinced of who you are. We're not convinced. But yet, they have blindly neglected everything which God, which Christ has spoken to them previously in John chapter 7. They have never paid attention to anything spoken by Christ. And this is very clear, especially when he thought about going back to him who sent me. Their ideas was of this world, their ideas of Christ was of this world, their ideas of God to a certain extent is of this world. This is sad. This is really sad. As I mentioned to some of you guys before, one of the Jewish sects right now currently have a Messiah, have a person that they deem to be the Messiah. He has done no miracles. He has done nothing that the promised Messiah would do, but yet they treat him as the Messiah. Why? How? It's unthinkable that God has come into human flesh, shown us so much things, but yet they themselves neglect to see it. And they themselves were not willing to believe in it. In fact, their own stupidity, they also realize it. In verse 36, what does he mean by you will seek me and you will not find me? It's exactly what it means. They themselves do not understand God. In some ways, they themselves did not even look and understand what God has promised to them. They themselves did not read Proverbs. As mentioned before, this is mentioned in Proverbs. They themselves did not know Proverbs at all. They thought they have learning. They thought they have understanding. But no, this was not the case. Where am I? Where I am, you cannot come. The heavenly dwellings of God, where you shall never be. It's a good time for us to reflect. Are we attentive? Do we listen? Are we attentive to Christ's words? Are we attentive to Christ's promises? Are we attentive to what Christ has done for us? You know, as Christians, this is something that we often neglect, which is very ironic also. We as Christians, what we should be commonly thinking about, what we should set our minds and our thoughts on Christ himself. But yet, how often do we neglect that? How often do we forget about that? How often does that slip our minds? That we do not seek him, that we do not even understand what he says. I think this is the greatest all that we should be sad about. Oftentimes we don't know what he says. Not just that, we don't have the intention to find out what he says. You know, in verse 36, we see that the Jews just dismissed whatever Christ has spoken, dismissed whatever Christ has said. You know, do not take Christ and everything he has said previously. Just pick and choose a few here and there, and then be done with it. Is that the kind of faith that we should have? If it is, are we any better than the Jews? Or are we actively seeking out Christ? Are we actively seeking out Jesus? Something for us to really reflect, think about from today onwards. Learn from the mistakes of the Jews for their forsaking Christ. But we as Christians should never do so. Okay, with that, I will end the session off here today. Today is relatively short because I wanted to save verses 37 together in one chunk for tomorrow. So with that, I will end us off here today. I will close us in prayer and I will hope to see you guys tomorrow again. Let me close us in prayer. You gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today, Lord, that we may come together to read your word, to learn from your word, from the interaction that you have with the Jews in John chapter 7, Lord. May you continue to help us and teach us, Lord, to hold firm to you, Lord, to seek for you, to earnestly seek for you, that you may show yourself to us. Help us, O Lord, in our unbelief, that we may come to the place where you are, Lord, to be with you for the rest of eternity. Grant us a willing heart, Lord, to enter into heaven, to love you, Lord. May you continue to grant us the Holy Spirit, that we may continue to serve Christ, that we may continue to worship Christ, and worship you, the Almighty Creator. Help us to know your word, help us to understand it, and help us to love it. Thank you, Father, for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, for our sins, that we may enter into this communion. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.